Welcome to the Drive Phase Podcast, the best podcast for information on issues surrounding sports business in the Caribbean. On the Drive Phase, we have discussions with sport administrators, coaches, athletes, and various stakeholders in the sporting industry and examine their contribution to sports and entrepreneurship. Here's your host, Dalton Myers.
Thanks, Colleen. In this episode, we discuss gymnastics with Danusha Francis. Noosh, as she's affectionately called, has qualified for Tokyo 2020 and will become only the second gymnast to represent Jamaica at the Olympics in the sport. She has represented Jamaica at the World Artistic Gymnastic Championships as well as the 2019 Pan American Games. Danusha, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Talk to me about training. How has that been going since your new fame?
Training's always the same. Obviously, since the World Championships has been over, we're back into the gym, but it's less intense, less routine, a bit more skills, keeping everything ticking over and having to go at some new moves as well.
So question, doesn't Vince give you a break or anything?
So straight after the World Championships, I went on holiday to Marrakesh.
Ah, okay.
All right, yeah.
So let's go through what happened at the World Championship. So talk us through, you know, what went through your mind heading into the championship, through to podium training, and then the different routines.
Okay. So obviously we knew that it was the Olympic qualification, and we all knew that it was sort of only one person from each country can qualify, and it's the top 20 individual all-rounders after the team selection. So yeah, the stakes were high for everyone at that championship. So in training, everyone was pretty relaxed. I think everyone at the world level knows that training is training. So everyone was professional, getting their job done. It was great to be training with my Jamaican teammates, all cheering each other on, very supportive. On to podium training and getting to see the stadium for the first time. The arena was absolutely amazing, really big. The Germans, they really put on a great show. Everything was so well run. But obviously, when it's that spectacular, it sort of adds to the pressure and makes you sort of know just where you are and what you're about to do. Podium training, though, still very relaxed. We had a lot of time on each of the events to get used to the equipment. And everyone in our subdivision had a good sort of day on podium training from what I saw. And we had a good laugh as well. We were in a group with Sweden. One of the girls actually trains at my gym with me, so everyone was getting on really well because we had that sort of relationship with them, and everyone got to know each other through that friendship that we already had, which was really, really nice. And I was really happy with how my podium training went. I was a good confidence boost going forward. But the night before, I remember being really scared. That was when, not scared, but just like nervous. And my fiance got into town that day and sort of asked me how I'm feeling. And I tried not to think about it all day. And then when he asked me, I started to cry a little bit because it just means so much to me. And it wasn't even from the nerves. I think it's just like you've been waiting for that day for so long. And finally, we were there the next day. Luckily, we sort of had quite an early start, which I preferred because you don't have to wait around all day thinking like what's going to happen tonight. It was nice to just wake up, get ready and go. And so we had a good warm up, all of us. And off to the competition we went, and same as podium training, it was all really well run, and you really felt like you were there at the World Championships competing for a spot at the Olympics, which is amazing, but also very nerve-wracking. I definitely felt my nerves more than I have in a long time, which just sort of showed me how much it meant to me, but I was able to keep enough composure and really pull off all my routines. And then eventually, after my last routine, I knew that I'd put myself in a good spot to hopefully qualify. So it was a great feeling. Great to go around with my teammates from Jamaica and the two girls from Sweden. We were all really supporting each other. And yeah, I couldn't ask for more.
You finished with 50.982. You did very well across all four routines. On that day, which one would you say you did your best on?
That's a good question. So I scored my highest on vault, but it's kind of a higher scoring event anyway. But I was really proud of my beam routine. I think beam is always the most nerve-wracking event for every gymnast or for the majority of gymnasts. So to be under that much pressure, and I really had a great routine with hardly any wobbles. And then once I landed my dismount, it was just like a full feeling of relief left my body. And I was just like, phew, thank God for that. So I'm really, really proud of my B machine. It doesn't quite reflect in the score. I'd say they were maybe a little bit harsh, but it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. It was that feeling of relief and happiness. And yeah, so I was definitely most proud of my B machine.
Talk to me about what adjustments you thought you needed to make after the Pan Am Games. And I was watching you in the finals, and I thought you were well composed. You had a minor mishap or error on the beam, but you would have adjusted that certainly for the World Championship. What training or what you needed to do to adjust for the championship?
So the Pan Ams was brilliant timing. Firstly, for just the confidence, doing a big event just before the World Championship, but also Vince and I went to some of the judges and got a bit of feedback. So that was particularly on bars. And then from that feedback, I changed one of my skills from a shuttle shape into a pike shape. It might sound like a minor change, but it was quite a big deal. When you've been doing something in a certain shape for sort of, I don't know, 10, 15 years, to change it is very psychologically challenging. But yeah, I managed to do that, and then that allowed me to boost my bar score by a good amount. So that was a nice tactical thing that we learned from the Pan Ams. And then the mistake I made on beam in the final at the Pan Ams, on the first day I did slightly an easier version, and the second day in the all-around final at Pan Ams I did the harder one, and again in the final I did the harder one and made the mistake. So at the World Championships, Vince and I decided to play it safe, play some slightly easier version of the skill, just to make sure that I felt confident going in, and also just to have that risk of falling, because obviously that's where you lose the maximum amount of points.
Another question I wanted to ask you, there's this discussion with some of your routine and training, it's about dislocating the shoulder.
Yeah.
I found that rather interesting. And for the listeners, this was a discussion on social media where I think someone had posted a video of one of your routines. And it included, I think it's on the uneven bars, I think it was.
Yes.
And it includes dislocating the shoulder.
Yeah. So it's on the uneven bars. And so the men do this skill quite a lot because their bar is that much skinnier and they have bigger hands. So it makes it a lot easier, but for the women it's really hard. And I think over the whole time of gymnastics, less than 10 people have done it really, because it's that difficult. So at the moment, I believe I'm the only one that's competing it. So I really like to sort of play to my strengths, and Vince calls it a flower. But in your routine, have something that the judges just sort of haven't seen in a long time, and definitely sort of not that day, and it'll just make them think, wow, and leave an impression, and hopefully help your score. So yeah, if you imagine you're holding like a pole in your hand, and your hands are sort of palm up, and then if you were to put your feet in between, so then the bar's behind you, and then lift the bar to your head, and then you have to sort of dislocate your shoulders to make that movement, just to try and break it down so people can understand.
I was also watching the video and was like, whoa. Another routine, and one of your favorite is the beam, I think you had said. And your mount and dismount has been a topic of discussion across the world, actually. What makes that so special for you? And is that something you keep working on?
Yes, I've been doing my mount for a long, long time now. And it's named after a gymnast called Silavash. She did it. I won't say the 90s, but don't quote me on that, a long time ago. Where I think gymnastics, people sort of tried to stand out because it was out of 10 back in the day. Mm-hmm. So you had to try and stand out. Whereas now you can just get on the beam really simply and get on with your routine, and you can make up all the points on the beam, and you can get a start value that's way above 10. Mm-hmm. So when it was an even playing field, people definitely pushed the boundaries more, and I kind of missed that element of gymnastics. So that's why I do the mount. It isn't really worth much. I don't actually count it towards my score. But I think if you can get on the beam in a more interesting way, start your routine off grabbing the judge's attention and the audience's attention, then why not? So that's the reason for the mount. And the dismount, similar reasons. And again, sort of like the bar skill, playing to my strength. Yeah, so I've definitely become known for the dismount. And nobody has ever done it besides me. So I would love to see gymnasts in the future attempting it, and especially if they come
with Jamaica. Yeah, well, I'll tell you this much, I enjoy watching, but it for me, the fans, sometimes it's a bit scary for us just watching too. You know, we just want to ensure that you execute it perfectly. But the beam is always interesting for us to watch.
Thank you.
All right, so you've been doing this for a while. The last time I asked you, you said you've been doing gymnastics from an early age. At what age did you start, and have you ever thought of giving up on the sport?
So I started gymnastics when I was 5 years old, and one time that sticks out in my mind that I did think about stopping, and this was when I still competed at Great Britain, and I became really, so I was on the World Championship team, and then the week before I became really ill, and lost loads of weight and became obviously really weak, so I couldn't properly do my routines, and then I ended up being the reserve for the team, but instead of just sort of being respectful about the decision, the person in charge really humiliated me, and then I just thought it's not really worth it at the time. And as a teenager as well, like when something really gets to you, it makes you really low, I felt. So yeah, that was the main time I'd say in my career that I thought about giving up. And then also after I graduated from college in America, I actually did stop for a year and a half.
Oh.
And then I picked it back up. So yeah, I did have a really long break in the middle there.
Talk to me about Commonwealth Games. That was another moment that you weren't too happy in the sense that you thought you should have made the team, and that was another opportunity for you to kind of showcase to a larger audience what you could do.
Yeah, so initially coming back into gymnastics after that year and a half break, I wanted to compete at the Commonwealth Games. And yeah, obviously you've got great teams at the Commonwealth Games where you don't have America, Russia, China. There's a really great chance to sort of make an impact for Jamaican gymnastics. So I really thought, so this is a great time to really put us on the map. And I was really determined to get back in, like, in shape and ready to make a difference on that team. But yeah, the decision was out of my hands, and they decided to only send one gymnast, which was Reese, and he completely deserved the spot. Like, I was just coming from time off and stuff like that, and I would never ever wanted to take his spot away, but I was just hoping that they would send one girl or one female and one male. But obviously I've learned, I'm 25 years old now, I know that things happen and people have to make decisions. So I mean, yeah, life goes on, and you know, there is another Commonwealth game, so the door's not completely closed on that.
Which means then you're saying to all of my listeners that Tokyo 2020 is not the final major event for you. You're looking forward to Commonwealth Games in Birmingham.
It's not definite. I know Vince would like it. I know my family would like it, especially those that are here in the UK, because they can all come and watch. Yeah, so it's in the back of my mind, but Tokyo first, and then we'll see.
Anoush, at your age, in terms of gymnastics, a lot of gymnasts would have kind of given up by now, not looking forward to any major championship. What kept you going to say, well, you know what, I'm going to make this Olympic team?
It's just sort of like that young girl in me that hasn't fulfilled that dream, and knowing that I still could in terms of physically, like my body was fine, psychologically I was happy in the sport, absolutely love my coaches, there was nothing stopping me. So I thought that in years to come, if I didn't give it another try to fulfill the dream of competing at the Olympics, then I would regret it in years to come. And if I hadn't have qualified, you never regret something that you did do, whether you tried and you failed, or you're going to regret more not trying at all.
When you reflect on this journey, what are some of the takeaways for you? What are, you know, in terms of this journey towards qualifying for the Olympics?
Oh, that's a good one. some takeaways for me, probably just to really believe in myself. I would say this year I was really focused on achieving my goals more than ever. I used to sort of have the goals, but I didn't want to own the goals. Whereas this year I really owned every single goal, and I was able to make them happen. And I think that determination and that sort of saying your goals out loud, writing them down, I even made a vision board at the beginning of the year, and then leading up to the World Championships, I rewrote the goal of qualifying for the Olympics, rewrote it almost every day, had it above my mirror, saying like, I will do it. So yeah, I think just that would be the main takeaway, is owning your goals. If you've got a goal, you can't sort of half onto it. You have to just really believe in it and really go full speed ahead.
Awesome. Now, Jamaica has been working on gymnastics in terms of trying to produce more gymnasts. Well, what do you think this means to young girls, you know, from Jamaica who want to make it to the big stage in terms of gymnastics?
I think it's amazing. We've now got more facilities, and I'm actually coming for a quick trip to Jamaica. I believe it's the 30th of November to be in a new facility and just like talk to some Olympic Association staff and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm excited to see it all, meet some of the gymnasts. But yeah, I think obviously we're all sort of the top of Jamaican gymnastics. We're building up momentum, getting better results, and then hopefully that gives them the chance to see people doing that and think, oh, I can do that. And if we keep improving, then it's going to be a snowball effect, and in the years to come, hopefully we'll see Jamaicans on the top of the podium.
What legacy do you want to leave? What do you want people to remember Danusha Francis for?
I want people to remember me for pushing the innovation and pushing the boundaries of the sport, and not just sort of playing it safe, but having fun with it, playing to my strengths, and also looking back, I'd love to be remembered as one of Jamaica's first winners. I think that's an incredible achievement and something I'm excited to sort of share with my children, grandchildren in the future.
Great. Another question I thought I would ask, what's next for Danusha Francis when you decide to retire? Not suggesting that this is it or come games, but what next for you after this?
Next for me, so I've done a few stunts still. I'm actually on one at the moment. So that's in like movies. And so I'm really enjoying the experience. And so I'm probably looking to doing a bit more of that because, yeah, it's a really cool industry, especially when you're playing for your life. It's nice to be able to utilise that. And I'm also interested in the WWE, so I went to do a tryout in Florida. And, yeah, we've been talking back and forth and seeing if I can work something out with them potentially. So, yeah, some really cool options. And I would love to do one of those two or both, if that's even a possibility, just for something physical while I'm still young and still in good shape.
Great. All right. So I'm going to call some names and I want you to tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready for this?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Vince.
Legend.
Okay. Well, let's just talk about that a bit in terms of you're saying legend. Yeah. What kind of coach is Vince?
Vince is always in a good mood. And he's just like coaches you as a whole person. In that way, I mean, when we go on trips, he doesn't just make it all about the gymnastics. He's able to have fun and, like, wants to explore the country, taste the food. And when I look back from trips when I was younger, I remember, for example, Vince and I went to Europeans together when I was younger, and I remember segueing around Berlin with Vince. I don't remember anything about the competition. And I think, yeah, I thought it was really important. And that's one of the reasons why he's a great coach and like someone that I think will be in my life forever.
Okay. Usain Bolt.
I do.
Why?
I just love how Usain Bolt was fully himself, and I don't know if that makes sense, but his charisma, his energy, it all came through. And in a sport like sprinting, you don't really get to show your personality, but he managed to. And he just sort of represented the Jamaican athlete, the sort of creative, strong, that was something that I want to be as an athlete. When I was lucky enough to meet him, he exceeded all my expectations. It was just absolutely so humble. And I can't say enough about him. And it makes me so proud to be on his team.
Elliot Reed.
My love.
I'm sure you're grinning. And he has been there in terms of supporting you throughout, hasn't he?
Yes, big time. He's actually also half Jamaican too, which is amazing. And we went to visit his family in Kingston last year.
Okay, and just for the listeners, Elliot Reed is Danusha's fiancé. And both are getting married soon, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll get married summer 2021.
Great.
I'll be busy next summer.
Yes. Next summer will be a busy one for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
For that young gymnasts coming up who may be listening to this at some point, what advice would you have for him or her?
The advice I would have for young gymnasts is to not compare yourself to others. And I hope that they would have a coach that will listen to them and that will coach them as an individual. So I think gymnastics is a sport where people have such different strengths and weaknesses. So I hope that they can have a great relationship with their coach where they can speak up, they can give their opinion on what is working for them. And yeah, my other advice would be to always just enjoy it, because it's going to take up a lot of your childhood and then maybe your adulthood as well. So yeah, enjoying it. And yeah, just being the best gymnast that you can be. Don't compare yourself to others.
Gymnastics has gone through some tough times, especially in the USA, a US gymnast. And also, earlier, we also heard about a gymnast who had an unfortunate incident during, I think, training. What advice do you have for, you know, some of these same athletes who are looking on and want to continue this sport?
First of all, obviously, all our thoughts and prayers go out to that gymnast that had that accident recently. That's absolutely terrible news. And obviously, if anyone read that and it put them off the sport, I would say that was a freak accident. And I think it's such a psychological sport. So if you have any doubts in your mind, then make sure you're doing your skills in a safe environment. Not to say that that's what happened to her, but as sort of a warning. And in terms of all the stuff that's gone on in the US, I think, again, it's about speaking up, and it's hard because it is such a young sport. People are in the gym from as young as 5 or younger, so to have a voice at home is very, very difficult. But if any sort of positive can come from that situation in the US, it's that people are speaking up and can be that example to younger girls that will maybe read the stories and see what happened. And if they realise they're going through something similar, they can realise that it's okay to, that is good to speak up.
Mm. Do you foresee yourself starting a charity or outreach project or some level of advocacy, Danusha?
That's a great question. Well, right now I don't have that sort of financial in that financial position. But in the future, if I am, then I would absolutely love to give back to the sport, give back to Jamaica that got me to achieve this dream. Yeah, so it's definitely something I would think about in the future, for sure.
Great. What about you that we haven't discussed so far that you think, you know what, I'd love Jamaicans to know me as someone who is hardworking, dedicated, and appreciative of all their support, maybe?
I would love for Jamaicans to realise how much I appreciate their support. So every single comment that I see on social media, I've never felt so much love, and I think really motivates me every day, seeing the positive comments to reach this goal. And yeah, I honestly felt more supported this past year than I ever have in my gymnastics career. So yeah, thank you to each and every person that sent me a positive comment. And yeah, and just Jamaica and the DOA and Jago for this opportunity, because it's a dream come true, and I just cannot wait to be out there with the flag and my leotard.
All right, great. And thank you very much also, Danusha, for just representing Jamaica and for just going out there and continuing to wave the flag of Jamaica all the time. We really appreciate it. And I say that not just for myself, but certainly all the listeners and a very grateful nation and a Caribbean nation that looks on regularly to the work that you're doing and how much you represent us in the Caribbean.
Thank you so much. I'm so appreciative to have met you, Dalton, along this journey.
All right, Danusha, thank you very much, and we'll talk.
Thank you. Bye.
On behalf of producer Rashika Grant, engineer Andre Sawyers, my program advisor Marsha Boyce, thanks for joining us on this episode of The Drive Phase. Remember to check out our website. It is available. So visit at thedrivephase.com. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Stitcher. so you'll never miss an episode. Remember, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes or any podcast you use. Go tell a friend about the show so they too can spread the word. Feel free to send feedback, comments, or questions to thedrivephase@gmail.com, or look us up on Twitter or Facebook at The Drive Phase, or use the hashtag TDP. Until next time, see you then.